You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
As the Nationals are a strike away from franchise history and some World Series history. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books!
It's not a dream! It's not a desert mirage! It's Lord Stanley! And he is coming to Washington!
Oh, great crossover.
Got
him. Just left Fournier.
That's called getting put on skates.
Down to two, down to one, and the Washington football team with the upset in Pittsburgh, handing the Steelers their first loss of the season, coming back from 14-0 down. What a win.
The show by the fans for the fans. Covering all four major sports in the District of Champions. It's the DC Crossover Podcast with your hosts, Mike Cerrone and Ben Simpson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the DC Crossover, episode 118. I am Ben Simpson, and that is Mike Cerrone. You can follow the show in a variety of ways on Twitter, at the DC Crossover for the main show, and at Cerrone16 for Mike. And, of course, you can check out the TikTok DC Crossover Podcast. It's the place to go for clips and all the good stuff. Your favorite moments of the show are usually put out on the TikTok, so check out that for sure. TikTok, it's the wave of the future. We were just talking about it before the show. Social media-wise, I mean, I got into it in 2020, like a lot of people. I feel like the majority of people got into it, sitting around in the pandemic, just scrolling through videos. And it has survived the post-pandemic world. I mean, TikTok is still pretty heavy. Tons of stuff on there. I still look at it every day, pretty much, just scrolling through. I mean, you can TikTok, it's genius. It's genius because it's like you get sick of one video, you just scroll. It's such an easy scroll to the next video, and next thing you know, like 45 minutes has gone by and you've like seen 300 different videos at that point. It's nuts. And I've gotten so good at TikTok now, I can tell like if a video is going to be bad, like right away. Like if Abby's sitting next to me and like she's just kind of glancing over my shoulder what I'm doing on my phone and I'm like scrolling through videos, she'll be like, why did you skip that one? I was like, I can tell it's going to be a bad video, or like I already know what the trend is that they're trying to do or whatever. It's Too much TikTok.
Yeah, and that's the thing too is Vine. When Vine was around, the funny thing was is because those videos were limited to what I think it was 6 seconds at the beginning.
Yeah, it was like six or seven.
Maybe seven. And then all of a sudden they were like, "Hey, we raise it up to 14," and you're like, "Wow, so much more platform." But that's the thing is like then that went away, and then you didn't have anything for a little while, and then all of a sudden TikTok came out, like you said, during the pandemic, pretty much. If I recall correctly, it came out during the pandemic.
That's like where it got its like I'm sure it was around like the year before or something.
Probably,
but like it really became popular, at, you know, just and it was all like, you know, dance videos for the most part. Like that was really what it was for a long time. And then people turned it into comedy. Like people were doing bits and things like that. Like, yeah, it's I mean, you know, people know by now that, you know, with the TikTok stuff, but it's just I just still think it's wild. It's wild. So our show is on there. We're part of the future, man.
Well, I have a lot. I would say I have six or seven drafts of some funny clips. There's probably about, because obviously on there, you know, we put, you know, the money line first of the week, because obviously some of our picks or earlier in the week, obviously, if we're not doing football season and stuff like that, because of the sole fact that the football games are later in the week, so we can actually do picks and post that later. But a lot of our picks, because the lines don't come out fast enough, we have to do early. So I usually put that one out later in the evening, and then obviously, depending on the content of the week, and obviously this is the off season, so and now it's really getting the off season because now obviously the Avs won the Stanley Cup and the Warriors won the NBA championship. Yeah. So now it's really the off season. Now you got really nothing going on.
Nothing.
But that's, yeah, so the guys got nothing. So basically, that's the biggest thing right now is that when you're looking at the off season, I'm trying to post stuff and. And there's not a lot of sports topics, but last week I ended in our final lap and different things like that. But I do have some really funny stuff that is in our drafts that I'm trying to kind of save for that sure. 1 week that's a huge lull, which maybe this week. who knows? But that's
a holiday and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, or like, all, I mean, think about that little All-Star break with MLB when like there those few days where there's just no. I mean. There's gonna be a few days coming up, and it happens every year where there's no like professional, and when I say like professional, I mean like the big four,
yeah.
major sports. Like there's no games. It's like one of the few days a year, you know. And with college baseball being done now, and it's like, all right, I guess we're gonna be betting on the Little League World Series, Mike.
Yeah, you got to do something. I mean, and that's the thing is, you know, I'm posting certain things, but I'm trying to see because we have obviously some funny clips and whatnot. You know, that I haven't posted to the point where they're going to be pretty hilarious when they come out. But I'm trying to do, you know, like we said, like 4 or 5 videos a week, you know, usually during the regular season of football. And then, you know, when basketball starts back up, hockey, all that kind of stuff, we have a lot more content. But right now, it's just kind of the off season. We're trying to do funny bits and stuff like that and drafts and everything like that. So hopefully... the views keep staying up, except for that one seltzer video that I'm still salty about.
Yeah, yeah. I guess maybe the rival company of that seltzer company was like, all right, we're going to specifically make sure this video just says no numbies at all.
We'll wipe it off the face of the planet.
It's pretty wild. So before we get to the rewind, I did want to find out, so I'll get your short review of Top Gun Maverick. It is on my list of obviously to see. I mean, I did see obviously the original Top Gun and enjoyed it. And I know from everything I've heard, people enjoy this movie. That's what I've heard. I've heard it's like, look, you don't go in thinking this is like the greatest movie of the world or anything, but you'll go in and have a good time if you like the original movie.
I mean, the original movie came out in, I believe, 86, and that's the biggest thing because this movie and Top Gun and also, not this movie, but the old Top Gun and I think Risky Business were Tom Cruise's like very first real big films or just films in general that gave him his huge break. And the biggest thing about Top Gun is they had a lot of nostalgia in there. Obviously, Kenny Loggins and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But
great soundtrack.
Yeah, great soundtrack and everything like that. But the biggest thing that I had a gripe with, and it's not really a gripe with the movie. It's more so of an opportunistic type thing where near the biggest scenes coming up, because obviously it's like there's no spoilers here, but. It's basically a mission because everyone's doing they always have missions and stuff like that. They're training for this mission, and right when they're about to go away for the mission, I thought they would play Kenny Loggins again. And I'm waiting for it. I'm on the edge of my seat waiting for it, and then it just flew off. And I was like, what are you doing? Man, give me some Loggins. I need some.
It would have been a perfect opportunity.
I mean, I needed some danger zone up in there. Again, I don't care if you played in the beginning. I needed it again. Okay, I needed it again because that just pumps you up. And gets you excited.
That was part of why the first movie is so fun is the music.
I mean,
the music really adds to it for sure.
Right. So a lot of great actors in there. Miles Teller did a really great job. I mean, overall, it was a pretty good storyline for the most part. I gave it 8.5. My dad gave it a 9.
Big scores.
So well, it's more so, you know, Tom Cruise is always great in these action films and whatnot.
Right.
So it's just
and you're not the only ones. I mean, Rotten Tomatoes audience score 99% and critics score 97%. So you know, you have it's gonna be one of probably the most beloved movie of the year.
Yeah.
And while it's not like, you know, an Oscar winning movie or anything like that, like it's not gonna do those type of dumb awards, but it is one of those like you said, one of those movies where it's like if you're gonna have a good time, you're gonna watch, you're gonna Tom Cruise fly in jets, and there's gonna be volleyball on the beach. And, you know, I've already seen the Miles Teller clip like a million times. And for two big guys like you and me, it's like, man, if only we could, like, you know, get it together for like a year, we could try. And even then, we wouldn't look anything like a year, more like 10 years. we still would look like we ate Miles Teller, I think, even if we tried as hard as we could.
Well, they tried to reenact the volleyball scene, but they didn't. Right, they did football instead. And then they tried to play it along with everything, which, I mean, obviously the volleyball scene is iconic and stuff like that.
Iconic.
But Val Kilmer was in the movie. And obviously with his personal health issues and everything like that,
right.
He had a very limited role, but he was very prominent in the movie. They kept mentioning his name and stuff like that for different things. But it was a good movie. Overall, great experience. Went with my dad for Father's Day.
That's a perfect Father's Day activity.
Yeah.
Father and son going to Top Gun Maverick.
Well, yeah. That was the thing.
That's great.
That was the thing is that, you know, I was going to do it for Father's Day, but then my mom, girlfriend, my sister, my brother-in-law, they all came and they all had a great time too. It was a great family outing.
I love it. And before we hit the rewind, real quick, I just want to say, if you haven't already, check out the documentary on ESPN Plus, Unrivaled, Red Wings and Colorado Avalanche rivalry documentary, just dropped on Sunday. I think it aired on live TV on Sunday, and now you can go watch it on ESPN Plus. I would highly recommend it. Even if you're not even like a Red Wings fan or an Avs fan or anything like that, if you just want to see like what a real rivalry is in sports, which we just don't get anymore, two teams that absolutely hate each other to the point where, like, you know, they're putting each other in the hospital because of like how much they're hitting, like, you got to check out that doc for sure, I would just say, because it's worth it. All right, let's hit up the rewind machine real quick. Not a lot to talk about, as we mentioned at the top of the show. I mean, it's kind of a dead time in sports. And you do have the Washington Nationals, who, again, still last place in the division. 27 wins, 48 losses. They had a couple series this week. They split with the Orioles, 3-0 win, and then 7-0 loss. Our pal Joe Deck, we were tweeting a little bit back and forth last week on Twitter, just kind of friendly banter, because obviously both teams stink. The Orioles are actually kind of fun to watch, I will say. I mean, especially with Rushman up now, and some of their other young studs. They're a lot more entertaining to watch than the Nats. Nats did win the series against Texas, though, later in the week, beating Texas 2-1, losing 3-2, and then I watched this Sunday game 6-4. They were able to get the win there. We will be talking about Wizards in a moment with the draft. And then DC United, this was pathetic. It was an ESPN game, Mike. I was hyped. 5 o'clock ESPN game.
One of my picks.
Nashville versus DC. And DC United continues to S the bed. 4-2-9 now. They get a 1-3 loss to Nashville. Taxi Funtis, the only goal. But, I mean, this team was just getting dominated all over the field. At home, ESPN game. Not ESPN2, not ESPN Plus. ESPN airing DC United.
Really nothing going on.
Yeah, that's when you know. That's when you know that things aren't going well. Oh, and then I did, before I fade out the music, I did want to mention the lone news in the football front is the couple obviously, you know, the congressional hearings and things like that that was happening last week. And the one nugget of that, of course, that Mike and I were texting about was this Ted Lerner carpet stuff, Mike. Pretty entertaining stuff there.
How is that even possible? Like, that's the funny thing is I heard someone say, I think it might have been Danny Ruhier on the radio early this week, that he said, I'm holding on to that one glimmer of hope that Dan Snyder somehow is kicked out of Redskins ownership. And that's the funny thing is this is something that he also was mentioning, not obviously personally, but he was saying basically that you have to keep the conversation going. You can't have a lull in this whole entire Dan Snyder out of the media type thing, because you have to keep it going. And this coming out was just hilarious. I mean, pouring milk or something. It's like, it's just
weird.
Yeah,
it was something like that. So for those who didn't know, it was like one of the, I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of pages of information on, like, you know, on this stuff. And one of the nuggets that was pulled out was that in Ted Lerner's suite at FedEx Field, apparently Dan Snyder had instructed people to, like, pour milk into the carpet so there would be, like, a sour milk stench in Ted Lerner's suite. And because apparently him and Ted Lerner had some business deal that didn't go well or something, or, like, it fell apart, like, years prior, and so there was some animosity there. And it's like, I mean, that's just like
I'm gonna get him.
It's so so strange, and it just tells you like how add another story to the list of Dan Snyder just being one of the worst people on the planet. I mean, like, obviously, like, that little thing is not, it's not, like, the biggest of deals, but add that to the list of everything else, and you're just like, this guy's such a clown.
Yeah.
Like, he's such a little, like, nerd that got bullied or whatever, and now he's just rich, and he's just gonna take things out on everybody and do stupid pranks, and it's like, well, this is so unnecessary. Like, you're both millionaires. Like, why are you pouring milk on the carpet?
Well,
you
know? Well, they're both billionaires. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, right.
Owners,
right,
are billionaires too, and that's the thing is, I kind of look at it as, like you said, he's like the guy who used to get bullied, but now he's trying to get everyone back. And it's
right,
that's the funny thing as well when you look at it, is his persona is not well received by 90% of people, and then there's 5% of people who just don't care, and then there's other 5% of people that somehow defend him. Now the people that defend him, I mean, a story like this coming out, pouring, I mean, that's like literally throwing like a dead fish underneath someone's back seat, and you're,
yeah, we're up in the up in the ceiling vent in the office of the guy next door, like that. They always, that was always the TV show trope,
right,
thing with that. Yeah,
it's just funny. It's like a high school thing or a middle school thing. It's kind of like that guy that really, you know, pissed you off, and you were planning this one thing to do. It's like, why? First of all, I don't even know why Ted Lerner's going to Redskins games anyways at the time. I don't understand why Ted Lerner's even going there.
Rich people with too much time on their hands, I guess.
Yeah, it just makes no sense. But that's kind of hilarious, because this whole fact that Dan Snyder has to stoop so low just to pour milk and ruin his own stadium that his team is in, so he could get back
so
at somebody.
It's so stupid. And that's one of many little nuggets and stories that came out. And then the other funny thing, just not even really, well, it did come out of the hearings, is because Roger Goodell, of course, testifying and being asked questions, and of course being asked about Dave Portnoy.
Yeah.
Because the Portnoy Goodell stuff goes back way back, all the way back to the Brady Gate stuff, and Portnoy and other Barstool personalities protesting, the Brady Deflate Gate stuff, and then Barstool always, Super Bowl time, they'd usually send a guy to media day to kind of, be the levity in the room, ask dumb questions here and there, and there would always be guys that didn't like that. The NFL never seemed to really like it, and meanwhile, the players have a great time. They love answering like dumb questions sometimes, and then that turned into, Dave Portnoy showing up to the Super Bowl and getting kicked out, and it's one of the funniest videos you've ever seen. If you've never seen it, the people
full limp,
because he's wearing a fake mustache and a hat, and it's clearly him. And they tell him to leave, and he's like, "I'm not getting up from my seat." And so you got like 5 security guards like dragging him up the stairs and like out of the stadium, and it's so funny. And then so you had that feud going, and then you also had Barstool printed Goodell's face with a clown nose on like a billion towels that they all in Foxborough, they all waved the towels and stuff like that when Goodell was there for the game. And you had the other thing was the one of my favorites was, so there was a charity auction where Goodell was auctioning. It was something for charity, and it was like the winner would get to sit down and watch a game with Roger Goodell
at his house,
something like that.
At his house.
And Dave Portnoy, of course, put in all of his money to win this auction.
$250,000, I think it was,
to win the auction, and they refused. They wouldn't. I mean, I think they probably took the money, or he told them to. He's like, it's charity, like take the money. But they said no. They said no to. They turned him down to watch the game with Goodell, which was the whole point of the stupid auction. And then the whole point is, at the testimony, they asked Roger Goodell about Dave Portnoy, and Goodell said he had never heard of that person.
Yeah,
and it's like, you've 100% know who Dave Portnoy is. Like, so he's lying. He's lying on the stand,
Yeah.
And it was so funny.
Well, he's like, oh, I don't know anything about that issue. And you're like,
right,
the dude interviewed Donald Trump at the White House. And
right,
you don't know who he is?
He knows.
Get out of here. I just think it was kind of funny because, like you said, the whole entire auction thing was hilarious because, if he denied it, then he obviously knows about it because he was the one who announced the entire auction thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the best part was the, like you said, the video of him at the Super Bowl, you know, with the glasses and the mustache and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
but
so great.
The best part about it is the comments, because everyone's like, this dude really went full limp and was like a dead body, and they were just dragging him upstairs.
Oh, yeah, literally dragging him. And they had, like, you know, like these big giant security guards are just dragging him. Oh, it's such a funny
video. But it wasn't
video.
Like he was fighting back. He was basically saying, you're going to carry my full body weight up these stairs. And then after they dragged him, I think, for a little while, they actually picked him up and said, all right, someone get his legs, because he's not picking his legs up for these stairs.
And then I think, like, the next year, PFT from Barstool, like, wore makeup to pretend to be, like, an old man or an old lady. And they, like, found out about it, and they, like, kicked him out. And, like, so the Barstool versus NFL, like, Super Bowl feud is notorious. So it's just funny. I mean, just as sports fans, it's just, like, the Goodell Portnoy stuff is some of the funniest things in the world. So the fact that that was brought into this Commanders, like, testimony stuff, it's like, oh, my God. What a weird world.
Well, I think also, if I'm not mistaken, I heard it on the radio. I'm not exactly sure if it's true or not, so I'm not going to say it's true as of right now. But apparently they said something like Dan Snyder was, like, trying to float his yacht into international waters so he couldn't be subpoenaed or something like that.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that guy is a slimy sleazeball. He's going to try to get out of this. I mean, that's the thing. If you're rich, you can pay the highest, you know, money for lawyers in the world, and they're going to figure it out. They're going to figure out how to get you out of this situation. I mean, that's why rich people don't really get in trouble unless you do something really, really bad that's, like, proven. Like, even if it's proven, you can get out of it a lot of the time, you know?
You think Riverboat Ron is actually not defending him, but he's more so kind of, like, setting the groundwork, like, somehow that last straw he might get kicked out. So he's trying to say, I'm defending my owner, when if they're the new owner, then
because like he has to. Yeah. But like you got to think, Rivera's just like, God, all I want to do is coach a football team.
Yeah,
like that's all I want to do. I just want to be given the resources and the power to coach a football team and try to win a Super Bowl. And if you just got this, that's the problem with DC football forever now has been there's been this circus. It's a circus. Every single season, there's the RG3 drama here, and there's now Alex Smith is talking crap here, and Dan Snyder's always up to something there, and the name change and this. And that. It's like, when can we just have a normal season? You know, like when can we just have a, hey, we're just going to watch a football season, and hopefully we'll do well, and there's not going to be drama, and we're just going to hopefully have a good team, and like that's all we want as football fans is, but there's always something going on.
Arch Manning 2026, that's all I'm saying.
Yes. Shout out. Hook 'em horns, Arch. Hook 'em horns.
Hook 'em horns.
Hook 'em horns. Let's talk a little basketball here.
The Washington Wizards.
Of course, the draft Thursday night. With the draft these days, I mean, like, even with as much college basketball that I do watch and try to watch, it's like, by the time you get to the second round, it's like, you turn the draft off, because you're like, I'm not going to be able to, like, there's going to be a few guys you've heard of, and there's going to be a lot of guys you haven't. And so it's like, the first round is where, you know, you'll watch, you know, at least for me, that's usually where I stop, is after the first round, it's like, all right, I'm good. I don't need to really, I can read about this tomorrow. But it's like the first 15 picks or so is like where your interest really lies. And with the Wizards holding that 10th pick, you know, we had been talking about, all right, you know, when you pick at 10, it's a crapshoot. I mean, once you get outside the top five, it's a crapshoot a lot of the time. And so we thought maybe the Wizards would move this pick or do some trades or something. And you know, we were interested, but at the end of the day, they draft Wisconsin guard Johnny Davis, 10th overall. And for once, you know, the Wizards are getting pretty good marks, Mike, from the news outlets, the grades. I have some listed here. You know, SB Nation gave the pick an A-, Sporting News a B+, CBS A-, Fox Sports A, The Ringer B-. You know, people seem pretty positive around it. We talked about it on this show. The Wizards need some guard help. This is a guard. 6'5", good defender, ball handler. He can rebound. He averaged 19.7 points per game, 8.2 rebounds, and 1.2 steals. Again, this is as a guard, and was the you know, Big Ten player of the year. So, you know, hard worker, a tough nose type guy. All they keep saying is, like, you know, we want guys with the dog in them, and I'd say Johnny Davis has some of that dog in him. And I was pretty pleased with the pick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the biggest thing when it came to this draft is, are we going to make a splash or not? Once they really decided they were not going to make it a splash,
Right.
That's when it came. You have to get somebody that's going to be a contributor. You can't go and try to shoot for the stars and get someone from Greece or Lithuania or something
that's
like
what
that.
That's what we're always worried about as Wizards. Right? that used to happen all the time.
And that's the biggest deal here is I think the main thing that you have to look at is he struggled, obviously, in his freshman year, but then his sophomore year came out and just balled out. And all of a sudden, after one off season, he became, I think the biggest accolade is not an All-American, not the shooting guard of the year and all that kind of stuff. I think it's the Big Ten player of the year. The Big Ten is arguably the best conference in basketball, rivaling the ACC. And that's the biggest thing is you're looking at teams like Michigan, teams like Michigan State, Rutgers, all these different teams that made the tournament or had really great seasons or anything like that.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing is if you can go out there and actually win Big Ten Player of the Year after you see all these great teams go out there and have great players and whatnot, that's a big accolade in my opinion. I mean, Big Ten Player of the Year, ACC Player of the Year, those are two really, really big accolades that you can have because obviously the tough-nosed deal in basketball of the Big Ten. But my biggest thing, I think, also when you're looking at just the player in general, is that he's kind of like an all-around utility tool player. Now, obviously, they said, oh, he's a hard worker, has a high floor, and stuff like that. The high floor, I'm kind of over. I'm kind of over people saying, oh, it's he's got a really high floor, but you know, it's the ceiling's kind of low. You know, it's like, all right, well, we need somebody that the ceiling is you know out of this world. Like we need somebody like that because. That's the thing is you stay in mediocrity, you stay average, you stay in no man's land when you get guys like this. Now, I'm not saying Johnny Davis isn't going to make an impact. He will. But when you're getting Johnny Davis's, Corey Kispert's, you know, those type of players, Rui Hachimura and stuff like that, when you're getting those type of players, your ball club improves, but it doesn't get transcended into the playoffs every single year. And that's my problem is – you know, you can't do too much with the 10th pick. We obviously told everybody, you know, on this show a few weeks back, you know, having the 10th pick isn't really going to help you because no one really wants the 10th pick. They want a single-digit pick because top 9, top 6, top 7, all that kind of stuff is a lot better because you can move around a lot easier. But just looking at Johnny Davis as a whole, just this entire outlet of this draft, I think it's a good pick. I think he's going to improve this team, but I also don't believe that this is going to shoot us forward to, like a top six seed. I don't think it's going to do that for us. But, you know, looking at it, it's just another piece, and maybe he has his game transcend. I mean, 19.7 points per game, shot over 40% from the field, over 8 rebounds a game, great defender, over a steal a game. So you're looking at it and saying, this guy can fit in a role. Now he's going to be a starter right away. Maybe not. Maybe. Who knows? But at the same time, you're looking at it and saying, this guy can probably help our team and get us more depth to the point where, like you said, we need more guard positions. But the point guard position is our biggest need so far because you can't have Ish Smith, you know, leading this team. So
yeah. Yeah. You know, you're right. And there's still a possibility that the Wizards will, try to go get like more of a pure point guard, like a Monte Morris or something like that. I mean, there's still up for debate. But as far as a guard, like you said, a guy who could maybe fit into a role, I think Johnny Davis could do that. Mm-hmm. It's not super exciting, but when you look at some of the names of guys that he beat out for Big Ten Player of the Year, I mean, Keegan Murray, Jaden Ivey. I mean, these are solid players that Hunter Dickinson with Michigan. I mean, he was able to beat out these guys. That some of these guys that were drafted higher than him, you know,
exactly.
So it's definitely interesting. I think, like you said, it's a fine pick. I'm not upset about it. I'm not disappointed with it. Do I expect Johnny Davis to light the league on fire and win Rookie of the Year next season? Probably not. But can he give us 10 points a game and maybe some 5 rebounds or something? I mean, like, yeah, I think he can be a contributor. But you're right that what this team needs is more than that, and that gets us into the Bradley Beal conversation because there was some news that came out over the weekend from a few different sources, but basically Bradley Beal is expected to opt out of his current deal and re-sign with the Wizards on a $248 million extension for 5 years, which would keep him here until age 33. So that's pretty big because, you know, and obviously these are just rumors and we won't believe it till we see it. But that is the theory right now that, you know, this would be a Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis team here, at least for next season and possibly the season after that, if KP decides to use his player option in 2023-2024. But that could be the makings of a pretty lethal, with everybody healthy and all that sort of stuff, with Kyle Kuzma in the mix as well. You know, suddenly, Mike, this looks like, I mean, Johnny Davis didn't get this team over the hump, but I think Bradley Beal being back and healthy could.
That's for sure. And the biggest thing is I'm looking at Bradley Beal and Terry McLaurin as kind of the same type of person. Pretty good locker room guys. I mean, Terry McLaurin has raving reviews in the locker room and everything like that. And Bradley Beal, I haven't really heard too much of him in the locker room, but I don't think they call him a cancer.
I'm sure he's not a problem. He's not a problem.
Yeah, they're not saying stuff like that. But that's the biggest thing is I look at them the same way. They're both not superstars, but they're stars. Okay.
Yeah.
Superstars are the LeBrons, you know, the KDs, those type of guys. And usually with the superstars, for the most part, I would say 50% of them, you get problems in the locker room. Look at Kyrie Irving. Look at a James Harden. Those type of guys. The guys who are putting up numbers all the time, no one likes. Russell Westbrook. I mean, literally, you're looking at these type of guys, and people don't want them on their team because the dynamic just plummets. And the problem is that you're looking at a guy like Bradley Beal, and he wants max money like a superstar, but he's a star. And that's the thing that we really don't look at when the NBA has their dealings with contracts and everything like that, because once a guy breaks out, he's like, I want a max deal. I want a max deal. Someone's going to pay him the max deal. That's why they always want that max deal. And that's the thing you're looking at here with Bradley Beal, because do we want a guy that is, if you want to call it higher ceiling and all that kind of stuff, a guy that ceiling is right around a regular single family home? Or do you want a guy that has an attitude, that has a locker room thing, that has a mansion size ceiling? That's the biggest thing is you look at it is this is what we have. Homegrown talent that we drafted when he was 19 years old. He comes in here and plays his butt off pretty much every single time he's out on the floor. Has played injured before, everything like that. My biggest factor is you pay him max money. Now you have to figure out a way, and I think Tommy Shepard can do it, and you have to figure out a way to put pieces around him to succeed. Because the problem is that you're looking at a guy like Terry McLaurin for the Commanders. My biggest thing with him, not a superstar, a very, very – I mean, he's on the fringe of superstar slash star because, I mean, we'll have to see when someone actually can throw him the ball what he can do. But the biggest thing is you're looking at those two guys, and you're going to pay them hefty money to stay on your team so you can have that star, but are they going to be the guy that can lead your team further, further, further and be contenders? Now, I think it's more of a piece where people are sitting there saying you could put some people around them and actually create a winning culture, you know, and have them be contenders and whatnot. But my biggest thing is if you sign him for max money, what are you going to do after? Signing somebody for max money is easy. But what you're going to do after that and filling out the roster, that's the hardest part. And Tommy Shepard's on the clock now.
Yeah, because the Beal thing, and it seems like, so the way the timeline's going to work this week is, so the Wednesday is the deadline for Beal to exercise his player option or not. And then he's likely to not. And then Thursday at 6 is when the free agency negotiating period begins. So we'll know more later in the week, but that all signs seem to be that this is going to be the situation, that they're going to re-sign Beal. But the bigger question, like you said, Mike, is, all right, re-sign Beal, you still need a point guard on this roster that can contribute. So some of the names being thrown out there, Tyus Jones, through free agency, or guys through trades, you could look at Monta Morris, Mike Conley, Malcolm Brogdon. These are all guys that are on the radar for D.C., so we'll see. I mean, you could even call the Magic and see if any of those young guns are available, like Jalen Suggs or Cole Anthony. Probably not. Markelle Fultz, I don't think we should touch. DeLon Wright is a free agent. Eric Bledsoe. You know, so I think you made a great point that it's easy for Tommy, and I know it's easy for us to say, but it's easy for Tommy to say, yeah, let's sign Beal to $248 million.
Yep.
the hard part and what makes you a good GM or not is how you fill the gaps beyond the max money guys. And right now, you know, Tommy has a team that hasn't made the playoffs in a while. And, well, they did under a Russell Westbrook, I guess. But now we got to see, can he go get as a point guard to tandem with Bradley Beal and to let Johnny Davis grow behind and all this sort of stuff. So a lot to look out for. But we'll know later this week, and we'll be talking about it next episode for sure. Let's have a little bit of fun and get into a little segment, Mike, that I like to call Stan or Ban. And this is going to be, let me get the music queued up here. So Stan or Ban, and this comes to us from the noteworthy publication BuzzFeed. They put together 25, and we're not going to do all 25, donut and cupcake flavors that really exist. And I want us to decide if we stan or ban the cupcake or donut flavor. Basically, do we like it or not like it? That's the game. And we're the experts, so we're going to play. So we are going to start with a little creation that comes to us from NadiaCakes.com. And this is the Dorito Cupcake. And let me give you the explanation here, Mike. It is a Mountain Dew flavored cake topped with Mountain Dew frosting, rimmed in Dorito crumbs. It's the Dorito Cupcake. Do we stan or do we ban the Dorito?
I'm just going to say that I haven't seen this list. Ben has seen some of them, but I have not seen any of them, so I'm trying to go blind here. And I'm going to say, punt that donut to the moon. I mean, yeah. Like... I'm not a big, huge Mountain Dew guy in general.
Neither am I.
But it's like, I mean, I don't want a Mountain Dew flavored. And I hate when people do the Mountain Dew flavored, like, pies and stuff like that. It's so gross. Like,
yeah,
why would you want to do
big,
that?
There is that pie or cake or something that's like a bit. I've seen that. I've seen that where it's a Mountain Dew flavor. And then the Dorito crumbs, it's like, it's not going to work. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
I thought it had Doritos and like a, you know, a Krispy Kreme. And I was like, okay, maybe I can try that. But a Mountain Dew, and Mountain Dew is like, talk about lemon lime sodas. Mountain Dew, I think, is like C. Like Sprite's always the number one, and then you got
Sprite's number
you
one.
You got like Surge.
Seven
and
Up's
stuff like
in
that.
The mix. Seven Up is always in the mix.
Surge is one of my favorites, but that's a nostalgic
Surge Ibaka. So we also have this comes to us from Tom and Chi Eatery. They have grilled cheese donuts. So you've got two donuts with sliced cheese in the middle, it's a grilled glazed donut with cheddar cheese in the middle. It's a grilled cheese donut. Do we stan or ban this?
I'm all for it. Load me up
sounds
with some
pretty good.
Load me up some cheese and grilled.
That's the thing though, cheese. I'm trying to think of like cheese and donut though. Like, have you ever had that combination at the same time? You know, like because like. I guess the only time you could possibly have those taste together is like if you like cheese with your eggs and then you have a donut also, then maybe you've had some kind of cheese. Otherwise, it's like cheese is not a big breakfast. Well, I guess bacon, egg, and cheese. I mean, I guess cheese is a breakfast staple. But I don't know. Donuts and cheese intrigues me.
But what kind of donut is it, though? Because that's the biggest thing. Because when you...
A grilled glazed donut.
Okay, because
I think it's like plain glazed donut.
I was going to say, if it's not glazed, then it's just like a bagel.
right, yeah. So, I guess, I mean, I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued.
I can't fully stand this, but I'm intrigued.
I'm going to fully stand it.
We've got Voodoo Donuts, famous donut shop.
Bad omen.
Has Oh Captain, My Captain Donut, which is a donut with vanilla frosting and Captain Crunch.
I thought I was going to say Captain Morgan.
No, but that sounds pretty good. Do you like the idea of taking your breakfast cereal? Because there's another place that does Fruit Loops on the donuts. Do you like the Captain Crunch, Fruit Loops, kind of the cereal on the donut?
I'm not.
And it looks like Raised Ring with vanilla frosting and Captain Crunch. Okay.
I'm not a huge Fruit Loops kind of guy, but I do like Captain Crunch a lot more. And I would definitely try it. I would definitely try it. And I think I would like it.
Yeah, I mean, I did not eat that many interesting cereals growing up. So a few years ago during the pandemic, I went ahead and I was trying like every cereal I never had as a kid.
Oh man!
So like, you know, trying Fruit Loops for the first time, trying, you know, Cinnamon Toast Crunch for the first time.
First time,
because I had Cheerios growing up. That was my cereal. Still is to this day.
Cheerios.
I was just a straight up Cheerios guy.
Jeez. Pour milk on the carpet, Dan Snyder.
Good for your heart. Good for your heart.
What are you, 80?
And Fruit Loops ended up coming out pretty high for me. It was one of my favorites. I don't have my official rankings right now.
Oh, I do.
But I liked it. I don't know if I'd like it. But I guess with the vanilla frosting on the donut, that would almost act almost kind of like a milk type flavor. And then it's... I think, this sounds... I'm not going to throw it out the window completely. here's one that we may have to ban. Strawberry Earl Grey tea donuts. First of all, I'm not a tea guy.
No, I'm not a big tea guy. Unless it's tea ball.
Yeah. Unless it's Tostitos. Otherwise, I don't know. Strawberry Earl Grey tea. Fresh strawberries in an orange zest and semolina base finished with a bergamot glaze. Whatever the hell that means. We got a ban.
I'm out. I'm out already.
Also, I'm not a big like strawberry, blueberry guy with like my donut.
Doesn't like his berries.
If I'm getting a donut, you know, like I'm not trying to be healthy with it. You know, if I'm getting a donut, it's for the fried bread.
You only do
like,
that for cereal, though. You only do that for cereal.
Right, right. Hey, good for your heart.
I want to know some more nutrition facts of Cheerios.
This is a place called Donuttery, and they sell a donut with maple, purple potatoes, and bacon on it.
What's a purple potato? Oh, like a potato that's purple?
Yeah, it's called the Purple Pig. It's a maple, purple potatoes, and bacon. So basically, like, potato on the donut. I can't find a picture of it. I just see it on their menu. It's called the Purple Pig. I don't understand. Like, why would you put potatoes on a donut, Mike?
I'm out. I don't want a side dish on top of my donut.
Yeah, this is just... I guess it's like little, like... Okay, so they're like little small... specs, but still, I don't love it. We're banning this. Yeah, it's like sprinkled on. It's like a little bit of like potato shavings and then like
who would want that?
Bacon shavings and like, yeah, I mean, it just seems ridiculous. Dark chocolate bacon cupcakes? Yeah. Standard ban?
I mean it seems simple. I mean, it seems like it's not like a new thing.
Oh, this is cupcakes, not donuts for this one. Yeah, dark chocolate bacon cupcakes.
Sure.
Yeah,
even though
like it's got the bacon
milk chocolate greater than dark chocolate.
100%.
Dark chocolate's for losers.
Yeah, it's for losers.
It's cereal killers.
Here, this one's right up your alley, Mike. I know you're trying to lose weight here. We got the quinoa cupcakes.
I don't even know what a quinoa is. Is that like the beans?
It's not beans. You idiot.
What is it?
It's like a seed.
Like a little,
it's like a seed.
Like little balls of like the little tan balls.
They don't really taste like anything. I've had quinoa before. It's like they really don't. They're not. Well, first of all, it's not like they taste very good. But I used to eat them when I was trying to be healthy, and it was just like, this is nothing. It tastes like nothing. So you could have some quinoa cupcakes.
I'm not a big cupcake guy in the first place. So if you put something gross on there, I don't really want that either.
We got cotton candy margarita cupcake.
Cotton candy margarita. Anything that has five words in their title, right. I'm out.
Yeah, it's too many things. Like, a cotton candy cupcake sounds pretty good. Margarita cupcake, I don't know. And then you, like, combine those two.
That's a lot of sugar.
Well, yeah.
That's a lot of stuff in there. Like I said, anything that has more than, like, five words, something like that, I'm all out.
This comes to us from Strange Donuts in St. Louis. They have a pizza donut.
Ooh.
A pizza donut. I'm trying to see like a description. It just says, yeah, pizza donut. Okay, it's like, all right, well, tell me what that is.
So I wonder if it's like a regular, I don't know what they call the regular donuts. It's like just like a, you know, the mix. And then they probably put like mozzarella in there and then maybe put a pepperoni on top. I would be down for that. Because, like, the bread is basically just, like, soft crust.
Yeah, it looks like I'm trying to find, like, a picture or anything, but I don't really see much. But apparently they got into some hot water about something else. So stick to donuts. stay away from politics. Here's one that we may have to ban. Sweet potato avocado banana cake cupcake.
What?
Sweet potato avocado banana cake cupcake.
No.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you had like seven big things in that thing. It's like, I mean, now you're throwing S at a wall and seeing if it sticks. Like, I don't understand what your point is. Like, you're trying to add seven different ingredients to this thing. It's like, it's a cupcake.
I don't even think those ingredients really like go together well. Like, that's, I don't know. We got a couple more here. Everything. So are you an everything bagel guy at all?
You know what? I've only had like everything seasoning or whatever the hell you want to call it on, on a few different things. And it's all right. I mean, it's not like I don't go yearn for it. Like avocado toast that people do.
They have an everything bagel donut. Does that interest you at all? It's probably just a donut with like all the everything bagel like seasoning on it, I guess.
I'll try it. I mean, I'm on the fence.
And finally, foie gras donuts.
What was that again?
Foie gras donut.
I don't even know what the hell that is. I've heard of it. Never knew what it is.
Here's what you do, Mike. You put the foie. Hold on. Let me get some. Let's get some music here. Let me get some calming. Problem is my. iPad is on very low battery, so like every time I press a button, it's like, no, we're not going to work. Here's some calming music. Mike, here's the recipe here for foie gras donuts.
Listening.
First, put the foie in a skillet over very low heat. Once some of the fat has rendered, about 3 minutes, add the grapes and the shallots. Cook until the shallots soften and foie begins to melt and darken, about 5 minutes. Add the cointreau, which is orange liqueur, and cook for 1 minute more. Then you pour the hot mixture into a blender with salt. Then with the blender running on the lowest speed, very slowly, pour in the cream and increase the speed to high until combined. Transfer to chill in the fridge, uncovered until cool. Scrape the mousse into a plastic bag or pastry bag. Seal the bag and allow to chill in the refrigerator for an hour. Then you place the jelly, grape jelly, into a pastry bag. Create a tunnel in the donuts by sticking a knife or chopstick in the side of them. If your donuts are hot, okay, this is just too many directions. Then you just basically you pipe in the jelly inside the donut, and then you put the mousse on the top of the donut. And again, this is foie gras, which, in case you were wondering what that was, it is made of the liver of a duck or goose. So my guess is you're not into that.
I was going to ask you. I don't even know what you're saying for the most part because I'm still trying to figure out what the hell foie was.
Yeah. Well, now you know.
It's a liver of the goose.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds up our alley. That sounds
I'm in. give me some gras. What's a gras part?
I'm a big liver guy.
What's a gras? They spell it like grass.
It's like F-O-I-E. And then, like, G-R-A-S. I think it's a French word. It's a French word.
The French, man. The French. You can never trust them.
Foie gras donut. We will now, I forget the order that we do this, but I believe it's time for your seltzer review. I believe that's
sure.
What we're going to
do. Sure. It's the off-season, man.
It is time for the Sultan of Seltzers to make his appearance. Hear ye, hear ye. The Sultan has arrived.
His hat keeps getting bigger and bigger every week.
Yeah, it's the hat that's getting bigger. Yep. Not the man. No, I'm just kidding. Sultan of Seltzer is here. He is the ultimate seltzer judge. He has rated a multitude of seltzers over the years. As most recently, highest rating was a truly classic lime margarita style, 8.2 out of 10. Today, we'll see what is in store for the folks as I turn things over to the Sultan himself.
Alrighty, so the Sultan of Seltzer review for today. Once again, we haven't been doing a review in a couple weeks. Obviously, 2 weeks ago, it was the highest review, and everyone hated it, apparently, on TikTok.
Yep.
So definitely go check.
Absolutely
despised. No one watched it.
Just garbage.
Everyone else watched the Smirnoff one, which is one of the lowest ones. All right, here we go.
Probably the hat.
They saw this and like, oh, we're going to steer away from this, except for that one donut place that got some hot water. All right.
Yeah, true.
So the Salt and a Seltzer review for the week. Obviously, we start on appeal, then we go with taste, and we give an overall rating out of 10. The first one is the Wild Basin Black Raspberry. So the appeal is actually pretty nice. Now, the entire case has different colorings for every single type, which is the typical stuff. But this one is pretty cool. It's a really cool, like, wild,
that's awesome.
Wildlife. Okay. It's like a, you know, you can, it's like Yellowstone. But at night.
Yellowstone at night.
Yellowstone at night. It's like you could. I could see Kevin Costner like just sitting right there behind a tree saying, this is my land.
I like the purple. I like the purple on it.
It's very cool. Obviously, it's gluten.
Purple and black, Ravens colors.
Yeah, sure. and some other teams too. 1 gram of carb, 1 calorie, gluten-free, vegan for all the weirdos out there. And that's probably why I don't get any views. And then offended the vegans. Yeah, everything else is just zeros across the board, so it's pretty nice. I have not tried this one yet, so let's give it a little taste.
He's going to give the taste of the Wild Basin Black Raspberry Hard Seltzer here. He has taken his first sip, going in for sip number 2. That's where the flavor really kicks in. Everybody can take one sip of a drink. The second sip, you have the aftertaste of the first sip, and then mixed in with the taste of the second sip, and it all adds up.
It's like watching a movie in the theaters, and then all of a sudden saying, I want to watch it again, like at home, because I know I miss things. So the second sip is, in this one, the second sip was great. The first sip, it was more of like a, okay, it's a regular seltzer.
Introductory sip for the first time.
It's like the prologue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's going in for sip number 3. Again, don't question the Sultan's methods.
I got a lot of different methods.
He knows what he's doing.
Yes. So, I mean, the taste is pretty damn good. I'm not going to lie. The taste is really good.
Taste the black raspberry. Does that come in?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's weird because it's more so after the fact the black raspberry comes into play. At the beginning, it just tastes kind of like water, and then it comes into play after. Like, it's like when it hits the back of your tongue.
What's the alcohol percentage on this one?
I believe it's a... Sorry, the can's so dark, I can't see it.
Yeah, it's tough to read.
5, just a typical 5.
Solid 5, okay.
Solid 5.
Did you when you took those couple sips, did the alcohol hit you at all? Like
yes, it did. You can definitely taste a little bit of the alcohol. Like I said, I'm not a huge I've said it over the last few weeks. I'm not a huge I look at a seltzer and I want the 4.5. Like I don't want to drink a Natty Light. Like I'm not trying to drink that. I want a nice seltzer that's going to get a little bit more punch. And also look really nice, like this can does. Okay.
Yeah, that looks pretty solid.
So, got my overall review. So let's hit that drum roll now, sir.
Yes, let's get the drum roll here.
The Wild Basin Black Raspberry overall score of 8.4.
Wow.
8.4.
Wow.
It's a great seltzer. It's a great can. It's really inviting. You know, it reminds me of a great show like Yellowstone, like I said, at night when Rip is just hitting people with a cattle prod or iron or whatever the hell that thing is.
Never seen it.
But, man, it's...
I believe you, though.
It's 100 calories, 1 carb, great. Gluten-free for all the gluten-free people out there.
Oh, yeah.
And 5%, you can't have anything better.
I mean, 8.4, it's the highest score he has given on this program. Wild Basin Black Raspberry, it is now... In first place, below it, Truly Classic Lime Margarita Style, which is in second place. In third place, it is Three Birds Hard Seltzer Mango Lemonade, 7.6. In fourth place, Smirnoff Pink Lemonade, 7.4. And in last place, as of right now, Truly Kiwi Mojito Style Poolside Pack, 6.9. That is the Sultan. Go out and get your Wild Basin Black Raspberry. It's July 4th weekend, people. You got to load up with some seltzers. Why not? Some Wild Basin. No, not a sponsor of the show, but we're giving them some good promotion here, so they should probably pay us.
Next week will be a limited edition Cocktail Hour Bud Light Seltzer.
I like to hear that. Come on back for next week for July 4th. Heading up the final lap here, 90 seconds of some quick analysis on some big stories in sports. Here we go. Starting with the Colorado Avalanche. Keep the hat on, by the way.
Yeah, I am.
They win their first cup since 2001. They beat the Lightning 4-2 last night.
The Avs, I mean, everyone was just saying, you know, even coaches were saying that the Avs were just a monster that couldn't be tamed. And obviously, they took down the two-time defending state, or not state champs, but two-time defending Stanley Cup champs.
Kind of a wild brawl the other day in baseball. You had Mariners Angels just go bananas. Eight players ejected. You got to see a great video of Anthony Rendon shoving a guy in the face. Guys throwing sunflower seeds onto the field. Wild scene there in Anaheim, or I guess L.A.
I'm still shocked that Anthony Rendon's still on the field. He hasn't been playing a lot.
He had a cast on because he's done for the season, but he contributed that game. Ole Miss win their first ever College World Series title. Good for them, Mike.
Good for them.
They beat Oklahoma. Shout out to Ole Miss. Matthew Wolf, the latest to leave the PGA Tour for LIV Golf. Are we going to miss him on the tour, Mike? Matthew Wolf?
I'm going to miss him missing cuts. That's what I'm going to really miss.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's one of your favorites. And last but not least, Pedro, Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz, and Gary Sheffield, and Keith Folk, all of their sons are playing on the same summer travel team. Just imagine, like, you're, like, 4'2", skinny, little like 11-year-old showing up to the field, and there's just all these just monsters on the field to play him that day, and you lose 25-1, and you know he's crying on the way home. It's like, all right, yeah, we lost to like five major league kids' sons today.
I mean, could you have any more of an overshadow of Keith Folk? I mean, you got four basically great players, and you're like, and Keith Folk.
I had to throw his name in there. Hey, he did win that World Series with the Red Sox. Oh boy, you should see him now. He's got a big old face. just Googled him.
Big old face.
Yeah, somebody's been eating some of those donuts we talked about earlier.
They had foie gras.
Let's hit up the money line. Again, this round, we're almost done, I believe. I believe this is the last picks, I guess. If you're looking at our previous rounds, we went up through about, looks like 45 games worth of picks. And so that's what we're going to be at here. So looks like you're going to win another round, but we are ready to turn the page on this one because this one was pretty bad. I guess we could end up tying if I get two right and you get two wrong.
Is this our last week? I thought, I mean, we've only done about.
But you look at the other rounds and we were like 25 and 20, 21 and 24.
Or 45.
We're at 13 and 21 right now and 11 and 23.
Yeah. I mean,
so we're there.
I'm at 34 picks and so are you. And then the last week was 45.
Yeah, I know. That's why this week will be this will be the final week.
You just want to change it up.
No, I mean look at the numbers.
I'm looking. Yeah, 25 and 20 was my last time, and it was that's 45 games.
Oh, you're right. I read this completely wrong. Never mind. We have quite a while to go. Here's the picks. I added them up incorrectly.
Hey, it's our show. We can sit there and say screw it.
No. We still have like 10 more weeks to go of these picks. All right, picks of the week here. I'm just going to the UFC because why not? Dustin Poirier. He's the favorite over Nate Diaz on Saturday. So I'm just going to take him on the money line. I mean, I really have no other games to bet on. So I'm like, all right. Yep. And then I'm going WNBA tonight. LA Sparks. 8-point dogs against the Las Vegas Aces. Don't really have a lot of inside info for you, but 8 points is pretty big spread. So I'm like, all right, I'm taking the Sparks as dogs.
Who cares? Honestly, like I said, it's the off season, so our picks are pretty pathetic right now because we're just stretching now.
Get into NFL season. That's when Mike and I really shine. I will say, like, NFL is definitely my favorite sport to bet on.
Right.
College football, very close behind it, I will say, because I love – I mean, you and I, we were looking at some incredible spreads last year in college football. Remember, the best spread ever was that, like, 60-point or 70-point spread that they didn't cover. One of the greatest games to ever be played, apparently.
I was in Pittsburgh for a wedding, and I was literally watching the game. It was New Mexico State.
Unbelievable.
New Mexico State and Alabama, 52-point spread.
Oh, it was so
Alabama
great.
Was up 50-0 at halftime. I was like, wow. All right.
They didn't cover.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. So my lock of the week is the Pirates money line over the Nats on Tuesday.
Sure.
five of the seven game twos in the series that the Nats have played.
Look at that little nugget.
In the month of June, they've lost. So right. I'm just throwing a dart at the wall, and hopefully it hits the bullseye. Who knows? My dog, Denny McCarthy, local pro here in the DMV, to finish top 10 at plus 275 for the John Deere Classic this week. He's from Maryland, but two of his last three tournaments, including the U.S. Open, tied for fifth and tied for seventh in two of the last three. So he's on fire. So hopefully he can finish top 10, plus 275 for that, the John Deere Classic.
Got to root for a DMV product, that's for sure. Yeah, I was looking at games to bet, and it's like, all right, you can bet on baseball. You could bet on WNBA.
Wimbledon, but it's like you don't
Wimbledon.
You don't know who's going to play. That's the thing, though. It's like they have.
I don't know anybody's names in Wimbledon these days. Like, it's like, I don't know. I mean, not that I knew him back then either. It's like, you know, like three of the bigger players and everyone else, you're like, all right, yeah, I'm not. I just look at the lines and I'm like, all right, I guess that's a favorite. So I'm going to go with the favorite because, yeah. But so we'll see. We'll see how this goes this week. And we still have plenty more weeks to go.
We will see. We will see how bad we lose again.
Yeah. Well, be sure to follow the show on Twitter at the DC Crossover for the main show account and at Cerrone16. And again, the TikTok DC Crossover podcast is the place to go for that. And then as far as we also remind you, check out Bird's Eye View with Erica McCall. Season 2 has been airing 6 episodes so far of the 8. So 2 episodes left of this season. And then that season, and then that show will be done for a bit, unless she ends up doing more episodes. We'll see. But for now, check out some great ones. Some great ones. There's some great stories on the last episode, and it's been a real solid season. She's doing a great job. So check out Bird's Eye View. And next week we'll be back with another off-season episode. We'll keep you updated on Twitter as far as like when we're going to drop that, because that is July 4th on Monday, so we'll have to kind of figure that out.
Right.
But regardless, it's not like there's a lot of games going on contingent on this. So we'll maybe be doing – so I believe we did a July 4th draft last year. So we're going to have to find another – maybe like an America draft, like the best things about America. I mean, I don't know. There could be
interesting.
Without not getting like weird or like political. It's like best things in America, Republican. Like, we're not going to like be weird. But like maybe if we get into like – I don't want to give away picks here, but maybe like American staples, you know, like I mean, people say like, you know, apple pie or whatever, but like, you know, baseball, you know, there's
like, you could say like the best things about, and we'll go back to the French, the foie gras. Okay. You could say like,
right,
you could say
right.
The best things about the French are is the Eiffel Tower, like stuff like
that. Right. Yeah. That's exactly. So we could like, you know, special like places in the country or I don't know. I think whatever you want. That's true. It's our draft. So America draft
yeah, it is.
Next week, let's say. We're just deciding that right now. So look forward to that. Besides that, everybody, have a great July 4th weekend. You know, obviously, be safe and all that stuff, but just have a great time. Drink your Trulies. Drink
Wild Basin. Wild Basin. Just,
Wild Basin.
Let's get wild. Get wild on 4th of July.
Get wild with Wild Basin and have a lot of fun, because that's what it's all about. And that's what America's about. So we will see you next week. This is another episode of the DC Crossover.